I'm going to be talking about strategy for the 9/11 truth movement, since this is an education and strategy conference, and I think it's extremely important. And my mentor was Bill Moyer. He was a strategist for Martin Luther King, and he also wrote this wonderful book called Doing Democracy, the Map Model for Social Movements. I'm going to be giving a more detailed presentation on this book, hopefully, if we get the PowerPoint functioning, in later. And in it, he maps out the 8 stages of social movement, and judging by his map, we're at stage 4 right now, the takeoff stage. So why are there social movements? Throughout history, a powerful elite usually exercises influence over a large number of people for their personal benefit and at the expense of the majority. Toynbee noted that the world struggle is between the few vested interests and social justice. So there's always been a struggle between the tyrants and the people. People have made some gains and have had setbacks. Slavery has been formally abolished, although it still exists today. And the nonviolent social movements of the past 200 years have advanced the cause of children, women, labor, the environment, and anti-colonial movements. But simultaneously, we've seen a rise in the concentrated economic power of corporations, banks, and an elite over the levers of government, emerging communications, and lethal technologies. So what is a social movement? They're collective actions which alert, educate, and mobilize the public, sometimes over years or decades, until they, to force change, to redress social problems or grievances, to align with deeply held social values. Social movements further participatory democracy. They raise expectations that people should participate in the decision-making process in all aspects of public life. They raise issues and put them on the political agenda. They provide a role for everyone to participate and engage in the process of making, of solving a problem. They're at the very center of society. They need to gain the support of the majority of the public and advance society along the path of human development, moving towards justice, democracy, human rights, security, and freedom. And they need to be totally nonviolent. Social movements are an evolutionary force which pushes people to live up to their ideals and values. They enable people to exercise their collective power. I'm sorry about this. I wish my kids were here. Maybe we could actually see this. But the slide that you cannot see has the power elite model of how people think power works, with at the top the power holders, and beneath that, the laws, myths, norms, institution, and at the very bottom, the people.
Just stick this straight into it.
This is how most people think that power works, that it flows from the very top downward, and that people at the bottom are relatively powerless, and they can't do anything about it except persuade those at the top to change their policies. But there's a different way of viewing power, and that's the people power model. Oh, did you get it yet? No? The people power model, visualize this because we can't. Oh, no. What do you mean we should do? The people power model has an upside down pyramid, and people are at the very top, and the power flows from them through myths, cultures, institutions, organizations, to those who serve the people. And this is the radical notion that our country was founded on, a notion of a country of, by, and for the people. Now, if the founding fathers had said, we want it of, by, and for the rich, the white, the few, it wouldn't have gone over as well, would it? Now, how many people would want to participate in that? So one way that power maintains its position is through myths. And the struggle we've always had. So the power holder strategy isn't to broadcast to the public the truth about their beliefs, actions, policies, and programs. They recognize that conditions generally are ripe for social change. They know very well who benefits from the unfair distribution of benefits and costs within the existing system. They consciously must keep their actual policies hidden from the public because they fear that a majority would rebel if they knew the truth. So the system relies on societal myths and is threatened by the exposure of societal secrets. Power holders use myths, slogans, and rhetoric to sell their policies and programs to the public. And the societal secret is that the power holders are generally doing the opposite of the publicly acclaimed myth.
There you go.
Does it work? Oh, cool. Okay. So then we have like the myth of voting rights for blacks. The big myth was that everyone had voting rights, and the societal secret was that Southern blacks were prevented from voting by all sorts of actual practices and grandfather laws. So the grand strategy of all social movements is first to convince the public that a problem exists, and second, to convince the public that policies must be changed, and third, to mobilize people into a force that brings about an acceptable solution. The grand strategy of all social movements is for the hearts, minds, and support of the majority of people, and to get them to exercise the people power that resides within themselves. Of course, there was a dark grand strategy behind 9/11, too, to terrify people into silence and submission, to get more funding for war, to expand the surveillance industry, the police state, to use a big lie to sell a bogus protection racket to their victims, and to institutionalize under national homeland security greater concentration of wealth and power into fewer hands. And we can see how the perpetrator how they did this with tools that were violence, fear, and the corporate government media megaphone. So our job is simply to expose the lie and help people see that we have the advantage of being able to expose a giant societal secret that they need to sell their lies and maintain power. We also have to recognize that the deeply held values, symbols, beliefs, sensibilities, and traditions that are important to the public are being violated by the power elite. And all we need to do is to prove to the public that the truth movement, not the power holders, uphold those values and principles, to motivate and inspire the public to challenge them and their policies. We also need to honor, respect, and join in coalition with all the other movements, which are part of this grander struggle against the concentrated power of an elite few. And this includes all the movements, born out of struggle for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So until social justice is achieved, this cycle repeats, and social movements grow more creative, democratic, and powerful. I'm going to go into more detail about these eight stages in my workshop, but there's also a big article about it in the latest issue of Global Outlook. But there are four basic steps. Expose societal secrets and challenge the actual policies and programs. Develop critical analysis, presentations, publications, and use all the normal public channels, including demonstrations, rallies, marches, when necessary, civil disobedience. Alert, educate, win over, involve, and inspire the public to become involved. And mobilize the public. Put pressure on the power holders and institutions to change policies and create a new peaceful culture and democratic political conditions. And to attract more members of the public to become social activists and to join in the existing movements or create their own. There's an assumption in the people power model, which actually if I could figure out how to go back to it, I'd show you. A cause of the social problems is the concentration of the political and economic power in the hands of a few and the institutions that serve them at the expense of the majority of people. And participatory democracy is the key means to resolving today's awesome problems and for establishing a just, peaceful, sustainable world for all. To solve problems requires an informed, empowered, and politicized population that assertively participates in the political economic process to demand democracy, justice, security, equality, human welfare, peace, environmental sustainability. Political and economic power ultimately rests with the majority population, and the rulers can only rule with the consent and acquiescence of the people. So the most important issue is the struggle between the majority of people and the individual and institutional power holders to determine whether society is going to be based on the power elite model or the people power model. And this struggle is a belief in superiority or a belief in equality. And it's going on at all levels of life in the political, economic, and social spheres, and in interpersonal relationships at work, in the community, at home, and within social activism itself. So if nonviolent social movements are to successfully address critical issues and create social change, they have to be solidly based on participatory democracy and a clear understanding of power and how to create people power and that can withstand the onslaught of power holder attack and counterattack. Aung San Suu Kyi said, "It is not power that corrupts, but fear of losing power and fear of the scourge of those who wield it." I actually think 9/11 was an act of fear. I think they knew that they were losing power, and it was a way to maintain power. So what we need is a leaderful movement. All activists are leaders, and sometimes the best leaders are often invisible. The five wise leadership principles include challenging the system, inspiring a vision, enabling others to act, modeling the way, encouraging the heart. And these principles actually come from the Leadership Challenge by Jim Kouzes and Barry Posner, and they've been used to train leaders in all sectors of society. So we can't condemn people because of the hat that they wear. There are radicals working for truth and justice within many organizations and institutes that we oppose. Our hope is to awaken and transform most people into allies. I think we can get 98% of people with us. I'll get this to. I'll have this available to everyone. The ineffective. Okay, there's. Activists can be both ineffective and effective, and I'm going to go into this in more detail later about the different roles of activism. But just in general, the ineffective activists. They harm and they hinder the social movements. And their behavior pitfalls to consciously avoid are acting disempowered and hopeless, displaying negative or attitude or energy, acting as an elitist or a self-identified vanguard superior to others, tactics in isolation from strategy, pushing any means necessary, being unrealistic, utopian, or for merely minor reforms, acting passive or overly aggressive and competitive, adopting patriarchal, absolute truth, rigid ideology, putting the masses down, and internalizing this dominator ideology. But the effective activists behave empowered, hopeful, they display a positive attitude and energy, they encourage people power, participatory processes, coordinated strategies and tactics, nonviolence, means equaling the ends, and they promote a realistic vision of social change. They come up with win-win cooperative strategies, feminist, relative truths, nurturer, adaptive. They have faith in people, and they emulate the peaceful paradigm. So last but not least, I think we need to not be too hard on ourselves, because this is a very huge task that we've taken upon ourselves. And I think the most important lesson that I've learned in life is how to forgive, how to accept, and how to love myself, other people, and the world. And particularly in volunteer organizations, and we're under so much stress, we just have to be kind to one another and to just banish fear, laugh, enjoy the wonderful people that we meet on the way, because together we can do what no one of us can do alone. So I thank you for your attention, and I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. And I'll...